Hello and welcome to the Green Room at Furnitubes. I'm your host, Catherine Barrett, and we're here every month with a new episode. Join us for industry musings, interviews, and discussions exploring all things landscape architecture, street furniture, and urban design. Hi, and welcome to the Green Room Decarbonised series. Today, I'm here in Essex at Ashwell's Reclaimed Timber with Deb and Janine Davis-Tutt. Ashwell's Reclaimed Timber is the UK's leading tropical timber reclamation specialist. And from their timber yard and mill in Essex, they reclaim tropical hardwoods such as Greenheart, Jarrah and Ekki, repurposing the timber for future use in an FSC certified process that prevents further deforestation, saves energy and mineral resources and protects architectural history. So Ashwell's Reclaimed Timber are doing everything they can to protect our rainforests by reclaiming and reusing the tropical hardwoods that originally came from the rainforests. Janine has a great quote that really resonated with us at Furnitubes, which is that the rainforest is disappearing fast. That's why we're collaborating with civil engineering contractors and landscape architects, saving tropical timber and enabling a more sustainable built environment. Hi, Deb and Janine. How are you?
Yeah, well, thank you.
Thanks for having us here today.
No, thanks for coming. It's such a beautiful day.
It is lovely. So tell us, what's the story behind Ashwell's? How did it start? What are you doing here and what's the purpose behind Ashwell's?
We started a long time ago when my dad had a shipbreakers on Barking Creek. We then got involved in taking railway sleepers off of the railway lines and we ended up with lots of sleepers and then that's how we really got into reclaimed timber. Our next big job was really when they built the city airport in 86. All the oak and elm fenders that were on the piles in the KG5 dock were all sailed up the River Thames and up to Barking Creek where our yard was, and we emptied them. And then rather than burning them or sending them to landfill, we started cutting them up and painting them red and white so they could go around the M25 when they were building the M25.
Right.
So when the job was finished, the timber all came back to the owner and we thought, well, what are we going to do with it now?
Right.
So that's where it really started.
And why tropical hardwood? Why focus
on
tropical
hardwood? Because of its durability, yeah. Really. I mean, the fenders were English elm, which is beautiful, lovely interlock grain timber. And the Douglas fir really wasn't much good to be used again.
Right.
So the actual piles themselves, we also took those in and they just turned out to be fantastic timber. Then he didn't always know what timber it would be until you put the chainsaw on that timber,
right.
Cut it, then you knew what species you had.
And so these are timbers that have come from, as we've said in the intro, the rainforest, West Africa with some, and they've all ended up in the UK and now this is an opportunity to reclaim and reuse them.
That's right, yeah. We bring them in, we demetal them, we trim them to size. We don't cut anything unless we've got an order. So we're virtually zero waste here.
Amazing.
I mean, it has been said before that the yard sort of can reflect colonial Britain because
right.
All the timbers come from all over the world. Some of the timber's only been in the country 50 years, 80 years. Some of the timber's been in the country for a lot longer, purely because of the durability of the tropical timber,
yeah.
That it can sustain being a workhorse and be used again and again.
We hear the word tropical and people, you know, get a bit nervous about tropical. Why should we use reclaimed tropical hardwood timber?
Because you will be saving the rainforest. Yep. You're reducing your carbon footprint. And then the big companies will be achieving their green goals. You know, it's an easy win for that. And also it's against the law to dispose of it if it is reusable, if there's a market for it. There's European legislation, there's UK legislation that says if there's a market for it, it is against the law to throw it away, burn it, compost it, or even recycle it if it's a reusable piece of timber.
Three really important reasons.
It's our day-to-day,
yeah.
But I would challenge anybody to argue with the logic.
So tell me a bit about the type of timber that you reclaim. We know that it comes from a tropical environment. Can you tell us a bit about the types of timber?
Well, there's sort of four or five major timbers that the UK uses,
yeah.
And that's primarily because of back in the colonial days, it's
yeah.
That where those timbers grew, they came and built our infrastructures, our jetties, our piers, our tunnels. That's it, really. We get from Australia, although Australia, thankfully, now has shut its borders. They're not cutting their rainforest anymore. So there's the Jarrah will slowly die out as an option. But they have got plantations of that in South Africa now. So hopefully in 60 years' time, it'll be coming back to us again, hopefully to be reused. Ecke's an African timber as well.
Right.
Very dense, very hard. Similar to Greenheart, totally different colours. Greenheart tree is straight up, like a bunch of straws. No branches until it reaches the canopy. And then it spots out a couple of bushy bits at the top and that's it. Whereas the Ecke tree is a really big, round tree, 10 metres across sometimes.
Gosh.
And a very big, tall tree as well. But it's a tree that sucks up silica from the ground where it's growing. So it's really hard to work. It blunts your tools very easily.
Right.
Then we're going Opepi, which is a beautiful, bright, sunshine yellow timber.
Yeah.
African again. Often that's on smaller sections because the Greenheart and the Ecke are very big trees. Whereas the Opepi is often comes as fenders and things like that. So they're not as hard as the other two.
We're actually here at Ashwells and we can see all the different colours of the timbers of the tropical hardwoods. So there's a really lovely variety of colours that are covered with those timbers.
And the most gorgeous timber we have, which we don't get much of, is the purple heart. And that is an amazing purple, really deep purple, especially when you cut it, it looks brown on the outside. But you put it in the sunshine, the UV rays just turn it pinky purple.
Lovely.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Yes, yeah, so that's special when you get hold of that.
Yeah. I don't like to sell that.
I keep
all of that.
We have to cancel Janine through and the Christmas shows an interest in the purple heart. So come on, you can't.
You've got to let go.
Let it go.
Got to let go.
It's such a statement piece. A lot of people use the purple heart where they'll buy sort of Greenheart, Ecke and Jarrah, but then they'll put a strip of purple heart to go through it and it just lifts the whole design, makes it striking. If used well, it's amazing.
So what are the best uses for reclaimed tropical timber then? Where do you find it used most? Obviously, we're talking and working with you about using it in some of our ranges, which we're really excited about. Where else do you see reclaimed tropical timber being used?
Well, our customer base is so diverse. Our ideal is when the timber comes in from the Marine Civil Engineers, we recut it and give it back to them to reinstall.
Right.
Ideally in the same project.
Yep.
And then that reduces the amount of virgin material they have to bring into the country. But then can you imagine we have like a 14 metre long Greenheart pile and we have a thing called a gribble that attacks the tidal section of the timber. And the gribble can only really penetrate the first sort of few millimetres of it.
Yep.
Inside it's still as durable as the rest of it. So we chop off the clean bits and they get processed.
Yeah.
But then we end up with the gribbly bits. So then we engage with, you know, sculptors who bought them.
Yep.
Landscape architects, designers have bought them. And so because we try to be as close to zero waste as possible, we engage with a wide range of people.
To use as much as possible.
Even like Mr. and Mrs. Smith who want a little bit of timber at the bottom of their garden.
Yeah.
We have open days for members of the public so they can come in and pick their favourite piece of timber.
You talked a little bit about the processing process. Can you tell us more about what happens when timber comes into the yard, but what do you do to the timber to make sure that it can be reused?
The first thing we often have to do is demetal it. So whether that's bolts or screws or great big sections where people have added metal where the timber's worn and things like that. So there's quite a lot of work to do to it. And once it's clean, then it will go into stock.
And then you cut it to size, so it goes into stock to wait for that.
To wait for that order.
Yeah.
Keeping the waste minimum.
I mean, the other day we had some timber come in from down in Dagenham, and because the project was a demolishing a jetty, and they just, you had two 11-metre-long sections of Greenheart, which were attached by another sort of metre-long timbers in between, and they'd literally just put them on the lorry, three of them. So when they came in, we were there with our little 4-ton forklift. So thankfully, we've got a sister company, Chamberlain Plant Hire, and we asked one of them to come over, and that's the only way we could get it off the back of the lorry.
Right.
That's just to get it in the yard.
Yeah.
And then the men have spent 4 days
demetalling
it so we can put it into... Well, we've got orders for it already.
Yeah.
Every day is a different day.
Every day is a different day. But it's also great that when you know what your order book looks like, you've either got it or you know when it comes in what that's going to be used for. So you've got a really nice turnaround of a lot of your stock, I would imagine.
The larger sections, definitely. Yeah. The smaller sections tend to hang around a little longer.
So we've talked about the durability of tropical timber and why we as outdoor furniture manufacturers and designers love to use it. How durable is reclaimed tropical timber?
It's as durable as freshly sawn, really. I mean, the timber is so dense.
Yeah.
It just doesn't rot away as such, like the temperate timbers we have in the UK.
It's amazing to see how old some of the timbers are in the yard and how fantastic they look.
That's right. You can put a 50 mil square piece of tropical in the ground with contact with the ground for 25 years.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's only just starting to decay. And there's various species that are better than that and less, but still have these fantastic strength properties.
And so compared even to our local national timbers, it's still much more durable.
Yes.
The stats that I've seen is that green art timber, I mean, the example Janine put in with the, I say 2-inch by 2-inch because I'm a bit of a heathen, but in direct contact with the soil, but that's without chemicals. So there's also the other layer of bonuses.
Yes.
You haven't got to
treat
it.
You haven't got to treat it.
Its natural durability is amazing. The stats I've seen is that if you use reclaimed tropical timber, you've got a durability of 25 plus years.
Yeah.
If you use oak, you've got a durability of 15. I mean, it's heavier, it's harder to work with, but the payback is that you get the longevity.
So can reclaimed tropical timber be reused again?
Absolutely.
Amazing. Yeah. So it's just got this circularity of use, reclaim, reuse again and again and again.
And it's such beautiful timber.
Yeah.
I think the reason why we're so passionate about it is you get such a buzz when you see material come in, the men in the mill sort of clean it on all four sides, and then the grain just pings, and that grain hasn't been seen for 70, 80 years. It's just been, you know, a workhorse.
And then you get to breathe life into it again and give it another opportunity.
And it's, you know, just such a cool thing that, you know, it's been a pile in Southampton Harbour and next minute it's going off to become furniture in an iconic place in London.
Proper karma. Mm.
You did a project, didn't you, where Greenheart went back home. Remember that?
Yeah, we had a guy approach us. He wanted to build a house in the Caribbean, which is very close to where it grows naturally. And he just sent us a cutting order over. We had a load of piles from the Woolwich Ferry for that job. And we did a job with Bam Nuttall. We just resawed the timber, put it on a ship. Well, we didn't put it on a ship, but it was taken back over to the Caribbean. And
Brilliant.
He built his termite-proof house.
Wow.
Because the Greenheart is its natural blood, if you like.
It's
actually acid.
Right.
That's why it's so dense, so durable, and lasts so long. And the termites die when they try to eat it.
Wow.
So it protects the house, or the legs at the house.
So naturally occurring treatment.
Yeah.
And it was lovely that, as I say, it went back home. It came over here, did a job
and
sent back.
Yeah, it's using our natural resources in the right way and not, as we've talked about in a few of our podcasts, rather than this linear, you know, dig up, use, throw away or fill with landfill. Just we've got to learn to reuse the natural resources that we've got.
And there will be a cost to that because projects will go slower. There's talk of like creating circular economy hubs in London where people can take material out of projects and store it.
Right.
It might not be this project they can use it on, but in future projects. So maybe that's the way forward. Logistically, we have to work out how we can do this.
And so it's either having a hub for things or when you look at a scheme, thinking about actually taking time to think about what's the best way of reusing or resourcing for this scheme. So where do you source your timber from?
Jetties, piers, sea defences, bridges, decking, you name it. A lot of timber is out there. People don't realise that. Everyone thinks everything's built in metal now, but it's not.
Right.
There's still a lot of
timber.
You know, a lot of timber out there.
So that's where it comes from. How do you source it? Who do you go to get it? Or who comes to you? You're a big name in the industry, so I'm assuming a lot of people know about you, but how does it work? Because I think because not everyone thinks in this circular way, there is a danger that that timber could just be wasted. How do you make sure that as much timber finds you at Ashwells as possible?
Biggest suppliers are the Marine Civil Engineers. So if there's a big job coming up, they will often come to us because they're only going to send it to landfill.
Yeah.
They can't chip it because it's too dense. It's got too much metal in it. So it's got to go back into another use. So we talk to everyone around the UK as much as we can. We've got some regular guys that know us quite well, especially in London and on the South Coast. They'll give us a ring when there's, you know, a load of timber coming out. And my first question is then, what do you need to put back in its place?
Right.
Are you just renewing or are you just repairing and replacing whatever they need, really? We're working down with Southend at the moment. They're cladding a new toilet block at the end of the pier, which will be opened in the next, I think, in the next month or so. And that's all timber we reclaimed from Stratford. Because of the Grenfell fire.
Yes.
They're now removing all the cladding on all flats.
Of course, yes. Yeah. So that can still be repurposed,
exactly.
Right? It's not bad cladding, it just needs to be used in a
again,
different way.
So yeah. That the stuff that's come from Stratford has gone
right.
Straight down to Southend to clad the loos.
But we have also just produced a timber salvage guide.
Right.
So I'll give it a little bit of a plug if you don't
yeah,
mind.
Of course.
So it's basically a guide that outlines exactly what services we can provide. We can go to site, we can do an assessment on what they perceive to be waste material.
Right.
We can either provide the service of taking away, resawing it and giving it back, or we can actually do a reclamation project and just take it off site so it doesn't stop their progress in the project. So the next big marketing push is that I'm going to try and engage with more marine civil engineers to try and get this timber salvage guide out and just say, look, this is how we do it and this is the service we can offer. And then hopefully that will increase the amount of timber that we do get into the yard.
And is that guide on your website or do they contact you for it?
It's on the website right now. My next piece of work is I'm going to sort of draw up a list of people that I want to knock on the door and invite to go around and have either do free CPDs or just have a cup of coffee and a chat.
The industry is very wide, from marine civil engineers to end users such as landscape architects or furniture designers. How much do you feel is known about reclaimed tropical timber, but also the massive benefits of reclaimed tropical timber?
The story we try to tell all the time, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just getting the information out there, making people aware, you know, how reusable this timber is.
You've got the stigma of when people hear the word tropical, they go, oh, no, I can't use it.
Right.
So then you have to then educate them, say, focus on the reclaimed word and not the, you know.
Yes.
It's reclaimed tropical, therefore we're reducing the amount of virgin material coming in. I was looking at some stats before we sat down, which I think are quite shocking. And every time I read them, I get
goosebumps.
Shock.
Yeah.
70% of the Amazon rainforest has been felled over the last 50 years. And then going forward from that, since humans began to cut down trees, 46% of the world trees have been lost. So we're nearly halfway there, guys.
Yeah.
We've got to rethink.
We've got to really be reusing.
And also, the amount of tropical timber coming into the country, and we've already got such a massive amount already in this country, because in the colonial times, we were bringing it over by the shiploads to build our infrastructure. And all Ashwells is trying to do is to try and to intercept it, bring it in to be FSC certified, and then sending it back out to work so we can leave the trees alone.
So protect the rainforests and don't ship it thousands of miles.
Yeah, I mean,
those
so
are two massive,
massive
contributors to carbon footprint that you're stopping.
Doing our best.
Yeah, doing a great job. We've talked about where the timber comes from and we've touched on a couple of projects. Tell me about some projects that you're really, really proud of, where you feel that really showcased what reclaimed timber can do.
The one I'm very, very proud of, which is quite a recent one, is the Blossom Garden.
Yes, and Alistair Bayford mentioned it in his podcast.
It was just loads of like-minded people got together and did something quite special. But then again, going back to re-educating, Adam and Andre Davies-White.
Yes.
Put us in touch with the project because we've worked with them before on previous projects. And the first thing we had to do, we went on to a Zoom meeting and we had the National Trust and London Mayor's Office and everybody there. And again, they were focusing on the word tropical.
Yeah.
And so then we had to then say, no, we're reclaiming it. The irony was they wanted the timber that they provided to be sourced within London boroughs to make that synergy. I mean, I don't know about you, you know the design. Though.
Yes.
It's like to remember the victims of COVID within the London boroughs. And then when I looked at our FSC spreadsheet, it made me realise that little material we get from London.
Ah.
And it's got a massive river going all the way through it.
Yeah. Ooh, got this new source.
So then we did manage to fill their cutting list, but, you know, we really had to sort of scratch our head. I mean, we managed to provide them Ecky from crane mats from a company in Barking.
Right.
And then the green art came from some piles by Narrow Street on the River Thames.
Yeah.
And then the Jarrah, you can tell about the Jarrah because that's probably one of the oldest pieces of timber in the yard at the time.
When they built the Olympic Park, there's a river going through it. And on one of the locks, they needed to replace the fenders on the lock gate doors. We supplied those and we took away the old materials. So that old material went back into the Blossom Garden.
Which was from the Olympic Park originally.
Amazing. Mm-hmm.
And then they used Greenheart as well because they had the sustainable concrete pathway, sustainable concrete going through, winding the way through the garden. And they used Greenheart as shutters. It's like going through the path as well. And then obviously the timber I've just mentioned was provided to them for battens to make the benches for people to sit on whilst they sit and remember. It's such a stunning project. And Adam and Andre are sort of like-minded people when it comes to the circular economy. And Edible Bus Stops as well, Mac from Edible Bus Stops, she's passionate about that as well. So it's just, you didn't, it wasn't a try-hard project. They knew what we did.
And understood that it's not, and the descriptions that you give in sourcing the timber from different locations, that takes an approach that isn't buy quick, put in, move on. Mm. It takes an approach that's thoughtful and planned, and more time is put into assessing and planning rather than, you know, the easy, oh, I've got 2 weeks to do this, let me rush through it. And I think that's a theme that's come through a lot of the podcasts in this decarbonised series, which is, it's not money, it's time. Mm, and definitely. If you plan more up front, we can do a lot of this, but you do need the time to plan it and to make sure it's done in the right way.
Definitely. Mm. People are. This is not all doom and gloom.
No.
There is a massive shift. Good old David Attenborough,
God
bless him.
Oh.
A massive shift. And we've, I mean, Janine's been doing this for over 20 years. Yeah. I've only worked with Janine for the past 5 years.
Right.
And even in my short period of time, the attitude change I've seen over those 5 years is quite remarkable.
You feel like you're being heard now. It must have felt like in the first few years that you were...
You feel like, where have you been?
Certainly what we've heard, the industry is really grateful for the work that you do, and the 20 years of work pays off, even though it feels like people are only just listening.
No, it does a bit. Some days you wonder.
As is tradition in our podcast, we have a couple of quick fire questions that we like to ask our guests. So first of all, Janine and Deb, what is the one thing landscape architects and the landscape architecture profession can do right now to help combat the climate disaster?
Holistically look at your project. What you perceive waste, then look at it again, because there might be a way you can reintroduce that material back into the project. If there's a timber element, come and speak to us. Janine loves walking around chatting to designers and creative people and chewing the fat about different options. Come to us early on in the project. Never dismiss something as being waste without looking at it again, and maybe a third time.
And lastly, if you could put a bench in one spot in the world, where would it be and why?
I don't think it would surprise anybody who's listening to this that I would love to have a bench in the middle of the rainforest.
Yeah.
The sound and the beauty and the way it feeds the soul, being surrounded by such magnificent trees. I can't think of anywhere better to be.
What a lovely vision. Thank you very much. I can smell it.